As I was preparing for this week's sermon, I thought, well, this is either going to be the easiest or hardest sermon I've ever preached in my life. The title is Praising the King. Simply put, how do we do the things that we've been taught to do? This week we're looking and we saw the energy just in this room of how people praised and welcomed Jesus into Jerusalem. And yet we know the fullness of the story. I woke up this morning so excited. This is one of my favorite weeks of the year. I truly love Holy Week. It teaches us, it reminds us the fullness of our God. And we'll get into that more and more as this service continues. But what I want you to hear today is we are called to praise Jesus in each and every moment. Not for 60 minutes on a Sunday or during a Bible study during the week, but in each and every moment. Will you pray with me? In the silence of the stars, in the heaving of the sea, in the rolling of the hills, we see you, Lord. In the voice of a friend, in the chatter of a child, in the words of a stranger, we hear you, Lord. In the calmness of this room, the longing of our minds and our hearts, we feel you, Lord. Let me move aside and let your words be spoken. Amen. I want to start today in Mark, and before we read the scripture, I want to paint the picture of what is happening, because that's what I think we do so well as Christians this week. We don't just go to Easter. We do Lent, and we really think, and we examine, and we reevaluate our lives to hit center again. And then this week is like, it is the culmination of what we believe. It is the fullness of our truth and our hope. And Jesus did something that I don't think we pay enough attention to. He prepared his disciples for what was to come. We read in Mark 9, 2 through 13. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before him. And his clothes became dazzling white, with no one on earth could bleach them. And then appeared with them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. And then Peter said to Jesus, Rabbi, it is so good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And he didn't know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them. From the cloud came a voice. This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him. Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. You see, the word that I want y'all to pay attention to in this is transfigured. Jesus was not transformed in this moment. Jesus was, is, and always will be who Jesus is. But in this one moment, we, mere broken, sinful humans, got to see Jesus fully in a way that only Jesus could be. And for me, it's that glimpse, that small glimpse of what heaven and earth can look like. It's what happens when we take ourselves back and breathe and allow God to enter into everything that we do. The world is, for us, transformed. And that's what this week can do for you. It's what it does for me each and every time. I kind of kissed my husband goodbye this morning, and he was resting peacefully in his bed and said, see you next Monday. But I can't wait. I can't wait. Here Jesus comes into a city. He comes in the Savior. Now, let me tell you, in Scripture, right before this, he was denied from his hometown. He was denied by the Samaritans. He was denied by somebody else. This story has been folding out for all of us to see. And yet in this moment, Palm Sunday, he comes into Jerusalem, a mighty king on a donkey. And he fulfills the prophet of Zechariah 9:9. It says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughters of Zion. Shout aloud, daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming for you. Righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." Let's hear how it's told in Mark. Imagine this, right? You've been to a parade before. The excitement, the lining of the streets. Yet this isn't for a sports team. This isn't for a country. This is for our God. When they are approaching Jerusalem, Bethpage and Bethany near the Mountain Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says anything to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say, 'The Lord needs it, and I will send it back here immediately.'" Can you imagine that? What are you doing? "Oh, God needs it. I'll be right back." They went away and found a colt, tied it near a door outside the street, and as they were tying it, some bystander said to them, "What are you doing?" Untying the colt, and they told him what Jesus had said, and they allowed him to take it. And then they brought the colt to Jesus, threw their cloaks on it, and sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road. Others spread the leafy branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna, blessed is the one that came in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Can you just feel the excitement? Can you feel the joy? Can you feel the energy that was in Jerusalem on that day? Then he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. He had looked around at everything as it was already late, and he went out to Bethany with the 12. This scripture gets me in so many different ways. I always love it when you can see the true connections between Old Testament and New Testament, which we see here today. I love it when we see the example of a true, humble leader in Jesus. He didn't come in a carriage. He didn't come in a horse. No, he came in on a donkey. And he knew where he was going. That right there blows my mind. He knew what he was walking into. Yet, it's my hope and my dream. You know, like, sometimes it's hard to live in the moment, and you're always thinking about what's next, or maybe that's just a me problem. But Jesus, I hoped, absorbed the hallelujahs and the praise be and naming and proclaiming who he is. I've given the example before, but sometimes I do believe we treat God and Jesus with like these white gloved hands only when we look nice, when we feel nice. That's when we will allow God to enter into our space. But what we don't realize is God is already there. God is there with me in the morning when I wake up and I just need a cup of coffee before I speak to any human. God is with me on the days that I receive a phone call that is not good news. God is with me on the day that my kids graduate from school. God, every single day. You mean that's the one thing we can proclaim as Christians, is God is good all the time? That's it. Each and every day. And here, this week, we get to see the fullness of who God is. That's why this week is unlike any other week. I love some Christmas and I love some Silent Night, and seeing that light going out into the world is something that transforms my heart and my soul. But each and every service that we do this week, and there's 10, just pick one or two or three, it tells the story. A story unlike any other story. A God unlike any other God. We start today with Hosanna. I don't know if you've noticed this, but we haven't been singing Hosanna in church for 40 days. Today's the day where we get to proclaim that again. And then on Thursday night at 7 o'clock, in the sanctuary, we will have a Maundy Thursday service. A service where God broke bread with his friends, all of them, even the ones who would betray him and sell him out. And in that service, we will strip the sanctuary of the holy things that belong to God. Pastors will take off their stoles. The altar will be stripped of all things, and we will walk out in silence and in somewhat despair. And then we come on Good Friday. And our God, who is so humble in nature, He walked this walk. He was beaten and tortured and died. And yet we talked about this a couple weeks ago, this symbol of death and pain. What Jesus did was that was transform it into a symbol of love and hope. This cross I wear around my neck or on my finger, right? These aren't symbols of pain and torture to me. No, they're symbols of God's everlasting love each and every day. I don't know how I'd do life if I didn't know that God understood the brokenness of myself, but not only understood it, but can seep into all those places and make it better and make it holy. I have the honor and privilege of officiating funerals here, memorial services. And my job in that moment is to usher in love and hope. And do you know why I can do that? Because of Good Friday. Because I know that death does not win. Because see, y'all, that's whoa. We leave Good Friday in silence. My heart always goes to Mary this week. Maybe because I'm a boy mama, but I can't imagine her faith and all that she went through watching her son be broken. Yet the story's not done. The story isn't done. Easter is coming. And this year, we have a new service at 8 o'clock called Holy Easter, and it's in Hasley Chapel, and we're going to take the darkness and bring in the light to prepare us for what is to come on Easter morning. And y'all, if you haven't experienced Easter here, I mean, it is oozing with the Holy Spirit, like each and every day, but this one's a little elevated, right? Because you can't do anything but be joyful on this day. How many of you filled out a bracket recently?
Uh-huh.
Can you imagine, just for a second, go down this path with me. Can you imagine a world where we got so excited about Jesus as we did our bracket? As we talk to our friends and family about the love and the compassion and the joy of Jesus as we do our brackets, if we did our schedules around things that happened, aka games, as we did the community of Christ. That's what this week does for you. When I say don't miss out, I mean it. This week will, can, and does transform your faith life. There will be some nugget that you walk away with that you'll need in August or October or January. Because here's the other thing about our scriptures. They are the living word of God. I've said this before and I'll say it again. I'm an avid reader. I love reading, but there's one book I've read my entire life and it's the scriptures. It's the Bible. And each and every time I read it, even as I prepared for this sermon, I don't think I had seen the fullness of Jesus taking his disciples to the mountain to say, hey, you need to see me fully to be able to do what we're about to do together. And he gave them that gift. And then in some ways he prepared his heart and his mind as he went to preach to all these different towns and they rejected him again and again and again. All different people. And then there was a moment, and that moment is today, where they came together and they celebrated and they praised be the name of God. And then this week's hard. Because like scripture, as I read it, I wonder, would I walk this week next to Mary? I would hope so. Maybe I would be one of the people screaming in the crowds to crucify him. Maybe I would be some of the people hiding in shame and fear. In fact, I've probably been each one of those things in my faith journey. Today, I'm to proclaim to you that we are to celebrate Christ. I can't tell you how to do that. I wanted to give you a to-do list because here's the thing. It's individual. You know what you need to do. You know how you can be better through Christ. You felt it. That's why you're here today. Keep doing it and lean into all the stories that are coming this week, as difficult as they are, they're important. If you just come to Easter, you're watching the last 20 minutes of a Disney movie. It's pretty and it's fun and it's joy-filled, but you don't get the fullness of our story. If you want to proclaim Jesus' name and know that he's good and know that he's true each and every day and that he beat death, even death on a cross, dive in. Come with me. I'll be here. I'm not leaving. Next 7 days, 24 hours a day, I'm here. Bring me food. But I can't wait. I can't. So I'll be a little snarky because that's who I am. If you start talking about your bracket more than you're talking about Jesus, think about it. If you center your life around a basketball schedule more than you center your life around church, think about it. This isn't a shame thing. This is just reality, right? When we come together with all of our gifts, with all of our talents, with everything that we are unstoppable in the kingdom of God, because that is who God made us to be. I've seen it. I've seen it in this place. And this week, you'll learn something new. It'll help you in your faith. It'll help you in your work. It'll help you in your home. It'll help you. It'll transform you. It will allow you to also see Jesus like those disciples saw him on the mountain. And you noticed in that scripture, what did they want to do? They just wanted to stay there. Let's just build a house here. Because sometimes when we're living in that glory of God, we don't want to do anything else. But guess what? We're called to get off the mountain. We're called to be a church each and every day, 7 days a week, 24 hours. Find a way. See God on your commute. See God in your office. See God in your children's eyes. It will transform how you do life. Because today is the day where we get to say, Hosanna, glory be to God in the highest. That excitement and that joy is something that brings us out into this week. Lean into it. Smile with me. Be joyful. And embrace the fullness of the story, the fullness of who we are. Will you pray with me? Dear gracious and loving God, as people line the streets singing and praising your name, we can see ourselves among them, shouting in joyful ways, excited to be in your presence.